Pentecost, of Passover, sorry, and the Son of Man then is going to be handed over for crucifixion. And the chief priests and the elders of the people were gathered together in the court of the high priest. His name was Caiaphas. And they plotted together to seize Jesus by stealth and then kill him. But they were saying, not during the festival, otherwise a riot might occur among the people. So right after this, after this setting of the stage in chapter 26 of Matthew, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper. A woman came to him with an alabaster vial of costly perfume and poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. But the disciples were indignant. They saw this and said, "Why the waste? For this perfume might have been sold for a high price and money given to the poor." But Jesus was aware of this. And he said, "Why do you bother this woman? For she has done a good deed for me." Verse 11 reads, Jesus' words again, "For you will always have the poor with you, but you don't always have me. For when she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you," again, truly means Jesus saying, pay attention, "truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, that this woman of what she has done will also be spoken of in memory of her." So beloved, how does that affect us today when we're thinking about the goodness of God and that this season that we're in is a sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord, and we're entering into the season of Pentecost right after Passover, 50 days between Passover and Pentecost. And here we are with all kinds of events going on. Some of us may be aware, others may not. But we're just finishing up, actually, 10 days of continual worship from worship people, worship groups all around the world. So many nations have come forward and said, let's be a sweet-smelling perfume for the Lord. A perfume, the aroma of heaven. I was really stirred by this today because I was thinking about Mary who did this, and I was thinking that she understood that she was in the presence of the Lord, and she understood what was happening at that time. Like the sons of Issachar, she understood the times. Maybe not in fullness, but she understood that it was very significant that what Jesus was going to do and what he was all about was all she cared about at the moment, as the Lord prepared her to take the next step. And as I was thinking about this, I went right into the next passage, actually continuing in Matthew 26, with the Garden of Gethsemane. And we're going to have communion today, and I was really thinking about this. Last June, Bill, my husband, and I were able to walk in the Garden of Gethsemane and think about what was that like for Jesus. And this was in Israel, in the Holy Land. And here we are, almost 1 year later, and we are seeing not just COVID-19, which is, you know, very difficult for all of us, right? But we're inquiring of the Lord and saying, Lord, what are you saying in this season? Along with that, along with this ugliness around the world, all the things that go with this that we're very well aware of right now, I think, more so than ever before in these recent months. And I was thinking about Jesus being prepared. He had to go to the cross before he was buried. But yet, Mary was preparing him for burial. So what did that mean? What did that mean? And so I was looking at the Garden of Gethsemane passage here in chapter 26. It says, Jesus came with them, with his disciples, to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He didn't say please. He told them what to do. He knew the weight. They did not. They did not understand the weight, but he understood the weight, and he was trying to help them and trying to position them to be part of what was going to happen. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be grieved and distressed. Wow. Verse 37 and 38 says, and he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch. He's calling them to keep watch. What are they watching for? Keep watch. Pray. Intercede. Be with me in this time, in the most significant time in the history of the world. He's saying, watch and pray. Stay with me. Be with me. And Mary didn't understand the fullness, but she knew when she was in the presence of Jesus that he was very important, something big was going to happen. And then he said, she's preparing me for burial. What was going through their minds? It's amazing. Verse 39 says, and he went a little beyond them, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet, not as I will, but your will. In other words, not my will, but yours be done. And I was talking to a beloved friend of the ministry and friend of our family and partner for this harvest time, Pastor Jose from Mozambique, and we were talking today and praying today about many things and thinking about what these passages meant. And it was very interesting because he said these very words, not my will, but yours be done. And that's what we're all called to do, beloved, in this season and time, is say, not my will, not what I want, but your will be done. So verse 40 says, and he came to the disciples and he found them sleeping. This is for us today. He found them sleeping and he said to Peter, so you men could not even keep watch for me and with me for me for 1 hour? Verse 41, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray, or you will enter into temptation to not know what's going on and to miss the most glorious season of your life, to miss the very thing I have designed you for, to miss your moment in history when I've called you to watch and pray, and I've called you to receive everything that I have for you right now. Beloved, he's calling us right now. This is a season where there are simultaneous events like never before in the history of the church. And he's saying, watch and pray. Know what's going on. Understand that this Passover that was similar but different from the first Passover in Exodus 12, that this Passover that we celebrated was done in a time where everyone was holed up in their houses. The Jews were not even able to celebrate that in Israel or anywhere else, out in the streets or any other fashion. The Lord said, you will tabernacle with me. You may not understand it, but you will, and you will look back to this, my beloved children of Israel, and all of us. You will look back, and you will say, now I see. Now I see. But this is a time of great revelation. The Lord says, anyone who wants to see can see. Anyone who wants to hear can hear. And the disciples, they didn't. They didn't, but we can, because we live under a new and better covenant. And we can draw the line in the sand. We can draw the line and say, I am not going backwards. I'm going forwards. And I want to hear, and I want to see, and I want to cooperate. Not my will, but yours be done. Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Yes,
oh,
God.
This is so great. Thank you, Lord. In verse 42, he went away again a second time and prayed. And he said, my Father, if this cannot pass away, unless I drink it, your will be done. He's talking about the cup of suffering. He's talking about the cup of separation from his Father. He's talking about the cup that would cost him everything to be able to receive his reward for suffering. It wasn't about his own pain. It was about the separation that would come, that would break his heart, because he couldn't bear being separated from his Father. He couldn't bear it. And he said, but Lord, not my will, but your be done, because of love. This is incredible. And he again came, and he found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy, in verse 43. In 44, and he left them again, and he went away, and he prayed a third time. Beloved, so many times in Scripture, the Lord talks about threes, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There are many areas where three things are very important, and I'm not going to go into them right now, but here he is again, a third time. time trying to get his attention, their attention. And I believe trying to get our attention right now. The Lord's saying, don't miss this moment. This is the time for a literal Pentecost to come. This is a time that's going to supersede anything that's ever happened. And anyone who will draw the line and say, Lord, I will receive, they will position themselves for the glory and the power of our Most High God to come and fill the temple. Oh, and that's so glorious. And people from around the world who have eyes to see and ears to hear, who have positioned their hearts in humility, can see and will cooperate and will say, not what I want, not my will, but yours be done. This is the time, beloved. We need to be ready. We need to say the perfume, the incense, the fragrance that's so beautiful for you and to you, that Mary poured on you and wiped your feet and wiped your body and said, wiped your head and said, I give myself to you. Because she recognized the moment. That's what she did. And Jesus was saying, she's preparing me for the burial of sin and death and destruction. Because Jesus went to retrieve and get for us the keys of the kingdom, so that we would live for him and reign with him, and we would know his glory and carry it. Not him, he's the glorious one, but we would be the donkeys that would carry him. Wow, it's so great. Verse 44, and he left them after the third time. So he left them and left them to their own choices. He left them and he went away and he prayed a third time, saying the same thing one more time. 45, and he came to the disciples and he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Beloved, that's our Jesus. He's so kind. He's saying, I've tried to come and show you my love. And I'm saying, come out, come out. Don't turn away from this time, this moment in history. Be part of the history making right now and say, Jesus, I want everything. The veil has been torn. There's an outpouring from heaven that is upon us right now. And the Lord says, look up, because this outpouring from heaven belongs to you. And it will go all over the earth. But the ones who say, yes, here I am, I give everything, I hold nothing back, they will receive. And we're in that position this week. It's starting to ramp up. You can feel it. You can feel it. You can feel it, because it's the power of the risen Savior and Lord. It's the baptism of fire that is coming upon the world and coming upon those who will say, baptize me in your Holy Ghost power and baptize me in your fire, and I will do what you've asked me to do, and I will allow you to transform me into the person you've created to be. And I will not hold anything back. And I will be able to define where resistance has come from. And say no. And say no. And be an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. Because we love not our life unto the death. That's what God has for us. That is the holy, righteous way of life. That is what God has for us to be able to hold fast to and say, yes, that's the life of the miraculous. That's the life where we see the dead raised. We see the blind see. We see demons cast out. We see the healed power of healing, power of God come in ways that we can't even understand or expect. And Jesus knew it. And he wanted his brother and he wanted the disciples to participate. He said, come on. He didn't force them. He didn't force them. He wasn't looking for a cheering committee. He was looking for them to rise to the best that they could rise, so they wouldn't miss it. They wouldn't miss it. And they would be with him. Oh, Jesus. So when Jesus said in verse 45, are you still sleeping and resting? He said, behold, behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. That's what he says right here. He says, get up. So I say to all of us, myself first, get up, get up. Behold the Lamb who was slain. Behold that this outpouring of the Lamb of God who is slain before the foundation of the world, where he says to us, get up, get up. get up. Get up. Wow. Get up. Let us be going. Let's do this, is what he's saying. Let's do this. Get up. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand. I am just undone by this passage. This is not an Easter passage. Okay, this is the passage of life, yes, where Jesus actually did it. He actually did it. He was prepared for burial. And he said, let's do this. Let's do this. So he says to us, beloved, that when he went to the cross, he says, you do this with me. Come on. You are co-crucified with me. And when he was buried and he took everything, the sin and the darkness and the shame and the guilt and the chasm, Jesus, between man and his Father, he took it all. He became the bridge. He became the way. He was the way it is. And he says that everything that got in the way will be buried with me. Oh, and we are buried with him when we say yes to him. And then he rose from the dead and he said, it's done. It was finished on the cross, but it was completed and finished as he rose from the dead. And the resurrection power is ours today. And then at Pentecost, 50 days later, the Spirit of the living God came as 120 people were waiting in the upper room. Ha! Waiting. They were feasting on the Lamb with their hearts. Feasting, waiting. They didn't understand. But they were told, go wait. The Lord is saying, don't sleep. Here I am. I'm preparing the way. I don't think I've ever been more excited about a season in life than right now, that we're living in unprecedented times. And the Lord is saying, are you hungry? Are you hungry? Are you hungry for more of me? Are you hungry for the risen Savior to take your heart and just hold it so close? Every decision must be made through this lens. Every decision. Some of you may be walking in choices, making choices, and the Lord says, surrender everything to me. Start fresh. Don't start with what you think. Start fresh. Like he said to his disciples, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Huh? Watch and pray. That's for us. So the very blood of Jesus Christ that was poured out for us, that Andy's going to lead us in communion in just a minute, will speak to us, because his blood speaks a better word. Yes. His blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus was spilled out for us. There is no one who escapes this joy. If Jesus has anything to say about it, and he has everything to say about it. So this is our night, beloved, amen, to say, I give you everything, yes, Jesus Christ. Yes. I give you my life. I surrender myself, my will, my ways, my purpose, my destiny, my dream. No more is it going to be mine. I'm going to say it's yours. Your will be done, not mine. Your will be done. Oh, this is such good news. So at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, and tongues of fire were sitting on all the heads of all these people, and there's a mighty rushing wind that came, a literal mighty rushing wind that came and absolutely immersed the people there. This was not just a historical moment. This was the beginning of what Jesus died for.
Wow.
It's the very beginning.
Yes,
and he says, I invite you into that right now. Lord, that you would receive everyone who doesn't know you. And Lord, that you would fill up everyone,
yes,
who needs your power, Lord.
Yes.
And that we are positioning ourselves to receive your fiery presence and power. And Lord, we will watch and pray. We will stop what we're doing and not just read a handout or say that was good. No, we're going to enter in. We are entering into the Holy of Holies as we have communion here. There's a communion revival that has been birthed, and it's from the Lord. It's all over the world. It's not like we've not had communion, but he says, join in. There isn't anyone who really begins to see these things, who's saying, I don't think so. No, we're in this together, okay? This is the prophetic demarcation. The line is drawn in the sand. The Lord says, in this time, let your yes be yes, your no be no. And the Lord says, I'm looking for people. Don't, beloved, don't worry about what has happened to you. Jesus carried it. He wanted his disciples to be prepared, even more prepared than they were. But he knew the humanity. He knew the frailty. Yes. But yet he was deeply grieved because he knew that the flesh is weak. So today, as we go into communion, I believe Andy's going to lead us in understanding how the flesh needs to take a back seat, needs to be eradicated, because it was eradicated at the cross. Jesus already took this. The Lord says today, beloved, for those who say yes to Jesus as Lord and Savior, for those who say yes to your power to come upon me and raise up in me, I believe that he says that this is your day. There's a new level. There's a personal release from heaven of a very powerful and special anointing that's just going to get stronger from this moment on as we celebrate this week. Oh, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. He said it himself. Behold. And get up. Get up. He's looking for those who will do this. Get up. Let's walk with Jesus. Co-crucified with him. Co-buried. Co-raised in partnership, okay? Yes, filled with the fire and the power and the presence of God. Do you want to live a supernatural life? Do you want to live in the miraculous? It costs you something because it costs Jesus everything. And he says, let's do this together. Get up. Amen. Andy? Ho!
Just pray that these words are stirring you and stirring your heart, because what the Lord is releasing through this fiery message is heaven's perspective in this hour. The enemy wants us to focus on ourselves, wants to focus on the situations and circumstances, when really the Lord was just imparting to us through the passion of Pastor Mary Pat, this is what he's calling us to in this hour. This is the vision. This is focusing and setting our eyes on those things which are above. The enemy wants to keep us here at the level playing field, and we're all wrapped up in ourselves and what's going on, when the Lord's saying, I'm operating on a whole other level that I'm inviting you to step into. But to do that, we need to be awake. To do that, we need to see what he's doing. We need to hear what he's hearing. We need to be in that place of intimacy, which is so encouraging. And just in preparing tonight for communion, I just want to read a couple verses, because the word says it all. It just does. And just it will help us lift our eyes higher. In Romans 5, 3 onward, in the Passion Translation, it says, but that's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence, knowing that our pressures will develop in us patience. Patient endurance. And patient endurance will refine our character. Yes. And proven character leads us back to hope. I'm just going to read that again.
Read it again, please.
But that's not all. Even in times of trouble. We in times of trouble right now? Yeah, some are. Most are. There's times of trouble. We have a joyful confidence, knowing that our pressures or that trouble that's around us will develop in us patient endurance. Endurance to what? Go the distance. Endurance to what? Stay awake. Because the Spirit's living on the inside of us now. They didn't have that then. They didn't have the Spirit on the inside. Jesus said, for the joy set before me, I endured the cross. What was the joy set before him? It was you. It was me. But even beyond that, it was the Holy Spirit in you. He saw that. He saw that in his disciples. That's why I told him to wait in Jerusalem until after he appeared. He rose again from the dead. He appeared to them. He breathed on them, it says in John, and said, receive the Holy Spirit.
and they received the Holy Spirit. And then he said, I want you to wait in the upper room until it comes again.
Well, not comes again, until a different expression comes. I want you to wait. So he could see the joy set before him, which was the Holy Spirit living on the inside of here. So listen, it's just so good. So this will develop us in patient endurance, and patient endurance will refine our character.
Woo!
We need to have that character refined in these seasons. Because if we don't have the character, we won't have the endurance.
Amen.
To go the distance. And it's not only character and endurance for ourselves.
That's right.
It's so that others can come alongside with us and go with us in that process. All that I'm going to read and declare out, and all the problems that the Lord just wants to solve for you, it's not just for you. It's for those around you as a testimony of who He is. Because He just doesn't want to do it for us. He wants to spread it around, because He's a spreading around kind of God. That's what the word anointing means. The word anointing just means to smear. I'll take it for like smear and like lather up. You know, just that's what anointing is. It's smearing. So He wants to develop our character so that we can endure. And that proven character leads us back to hope. That proven character of the Lord carrying us through the difficult situations produces hope and confidence in Him that He's able to carry us through. It refines us. And this hope does not disappoint. It's not a disappointing fantasy. Yes. Because we can now experience the endless... Well, wait for this. It's so good. We can experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Woo-hoo-hoo. So the Holy Spirit's the one that delivers the hope, the confidence, the love on the inside of us. So many times we're thinking, oh, it's out here somewhere else, or it's out here somewhere else. No, the Holy Spirit's inside of you. He's inside of us. The Holy Spirit wants to breathe and reveal the love of God on the inside.
That's it.
So for us to receive that, we can't just be limited by the situations or circumstances or obstacles that we are surrounded by, but we want to tap into that Holy Spirit that lives in us. Now listen to this. For when the time was right, the Anointed One came and died to demonstrate His love for sinners who were entirely helpless, weak, and powerless to save themselves. Sounds like the disciples in the garden when Jesus is saying, pray. They were powerless. They couldn't bear up under it. But when the time was right, Jesus came, then died to demonstrate His love for sinners who were entirely helpless. And I'm reading out of the Passion Translation, so there's some extra passion in there. Demonstrate His love for sinners who were entirely helpless, weak, and powerless to save themselves. Verse 7. Now, who one of us would dare to die for the sake of a wicked person? We can all understand if someone was willing to die for a truly noble person, but Christ proved God's passionate love for us by dying in our place while we were still lost and ungodly. So we weren't deserving any of it. He totally came in. We were the worst of the worst, and He still died for us. He still gave and sacrificed His love for us when we didn't even want anything to do with it. And there is still much more to say of His unfailing love. Through the blood of Jesus, we have heard the powerful declaration, "You are righteous in my sight." So God speaks to us. When we say and receive Jesus, we're seen cleansed by the blood of Jesus. We're righteous. And because of this verse, when I was preparing tonight, this verse blew me away. You are now righteous in my sight, and because of the sacrifice of Jesus, you will never experience the wrath of God. I'll just say that again. If you are covered and have the blood of Jesus, you are now righteous in God's sight, and because of Jesus' sacrifice, we will never experience the wrath of God, those who are His sons and daughters. Can you imagine not having the blood of Jesus covering you? What He has rescued and saved us from and brought us out of? Are you kidding me? That's amazing.
Yes, Lord.
The absolute wrath of God released
to those who don't know him. That's why we're in this season now, to bring people in so that they can know him. Yes. That's good news.
Yes.
That is good news.
Yes.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So if we were still enemies with God, God reconciled us to himself through the death of his son, then something greater than friendship is ours. Now we are at peace with God, and because we share in his resurrection life, how much more will we be rescued from sin's dominion? And even more than that, we overflow with triumphant joy in our new relationship of living reconciled to God, all because of Jesus Christ. Now that's just like a good old word, like nugget to like just set. I mean, it so blesses me because it's like there is a truth of reality outside of myself that I can literally set my life upon.
Yeah.
That he is the rock that is higher than I. So I can set everything that I am in my surrender to him and my presenting myself to him. I'm setting it all on him because he's the rock. He's the strength. He's everything and I am nothing. Which is incredible. So then he took me to Romans 6, and this all ties into communion because it's all through the blood of Jesus that this is accomplished. In Romans 6, verse 8, it says, "And if we were co-crucified with the Anointed One, we know that we will also share in the fullness of his life. And we know that since the Anointed One has been raised from the dead to die no more, his resurrection life has vanquished death, and its power over him is finished. For by his sacrifice he died to sin's power once and for all. But now he continually lives for the Father's pleasure." So Jesus is raised from the dead, lives continually for the Father's pleasure, releases the kingdom. In some scriptures, it talks about at the end of the age, Jesus is going to represent the kingdom to the Father. And the kingdom is all of you and all sons and daughters and brothers and sisters in the world that will come to know him in the time that we're in. And that's why we have to have eyes to see what he's doing in this hour and not be so focused and wrapped up in our problems. Is that minimizing our problems? No, our problems are there to refine our character, to create endurance, to create faith and trust and testimony of what the Lord can do and what that can then be released into the lives of other people. And that can only happen by us being intimately close to him and actually hearing him speak to us. How do you want me to walk in this season, in this hour? I mean, think about the children of Israel. They left Egypt. They're seeing all this blessing, all this encouragement. The Egyptians are giving them gold and money and saying, "Get out of here." And they get up to the Red Sea, and it's an impossible situation. And then the fear overtakes them, and they just start looking around. What's going on? And then they're like, "It's you, Moses. You're the one who brought us out here. It's all, we want to go back." What? And he's like, "Go back to slavery?" And at the same time, he's, "Lord, what is going on? What is happening here?" And the Lord said, "I want you to step forward." It turned in an impossible situation. That was an impossible situation. And the Lord broke through in that place. And they walked through, and they got to the other side, and they literally turned around and saw their enemies get destroyed, and they sang songs, and they celebrated, and then they forgot that somehow. Because the Holy Spirit wasn't on the inside, but he was leading them, and there were signs, and there was wonders, and the Lord in his grace even took care of them in that whole season. But there was a testimony. Why did God do all of that? Because, yes, there were his chosen people and he loved them, but he also, the scripture says, he did it to demonstrate to all the nations of the earth who he was. He was the deliverer. He was the one that was fighting on their behalf. And it's the same with us in our lives when we're facing those impossible situations and circumstances. He wants to come in, part the Red Sea so it can be a testimony to those around us.
That's right.
Around us. So that their eyes can be lifted up and they can see the God of the impossible coming into situations and circumstances. But all that can only be done through the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. So in the same way, we know that we
There it is. If we were co-crucified with the Anointed One, we know that we will also share in the fullness of His life. And we know that since the Anointed One has been raised from the dead to die no more, His resurrection life has vanquished death, and its power over Him is finished. For by His sacrifice, He died to sin's power once and for all, but He now continually lives for the Father's pleasure. So let it be the same way with you. Since you are now joined with Him, you must continually view yourselves as dead and unresponsive to sin's appeal while living daily for God's pleasure in union with Jesus, the Anointed One.
Read that last verse.
I'll just read that one again.
That's right. Come on.
Verse, well, it's just so good.
What verse is it?
It's verse, this is Romans 6, 9 and 10 and 11 in the Passion Translation. It says, and we know that, well, no, it's 8 through 10. 8 through 11. And if we were, if we were co-crucified with the Anointed One, we know that we will also share in the fullness of His life. And we know that since the Anointed One has raised from the dead to die no more, His resurrection life has vanquished death, and its power over Him is finished. For by His sacrifice, Jesus, He died to sin's power once and for all. And now He continually lives for the Father's pleasure. So let it be the same way with you. Since you are now joined with Him, you must continually view yourselves as dead and unresponsive to sin's appeal, while living daily for God's pleasure in union with Jesus, the Anointed One. And what communion does, is its intimate fellowship with the One who created us. Where, you know, I was talking about earlier that all of these words and all of these truths are something outside of my, outside of myself that I can come and set my life upon. But not only set my life upon, but surrender and say, Jesus, I want to see what you see. I want to recognize what you're doing in this hour. I don't want to get caught up in the sins and the things that are distracting me from hearing your voice in this season, in this hour. And through communion, it's another way of rendering ourselves dead. It's recognizing that we were co-crucified, we were co-buried. In the same way He broke it and said, this is my body that is broken for you. This is the blood of the new covenant. When you take it, when you partake it, He said, if you don't eat of me and you don't drink of me, you have no part with me. So He's speaking of those intimate moments and times. So as we enter in to communion, I know that there's some of you out there that you're facing either trials or circumstances or situations, and the Lord's saying, I'm going to give you a different perspective of what that is. And I'm going to bring a solution, a testimony of just how Moses parted the Red Sea. The Lord used Moses to part the Red Sea. He's going to part some Red Seas tonight you in communion.
Yes, Lord.
And as we approach that table, we're going to approach it in humility and surrender and say, Lord, I'm one of those ones that was asleep in the garden, and I don't want to be. But now your Spirit's on the inside. Awaken it. Awaken it on the inside. The flesh is willing. I mean, the flesh is weak, but the Spirit is willing. That's that Holy Spirit on the inside of us. So what a better opportunity to prepare our hearts for what He's not only going to do and continue to release tonight, but also what He's going to release on Sunday, on Pentecost Sunday. And I love so much that Pastor Mary Pat shared that story, that account of the woman with the alabaster box of Mary who just recognized, I gotta do this. I gotta offer this at this moment, at this time. But what so strikes me about that is that she recognized, and not only heard it, she recognized the moment, but she literally recognize that this is my one shot on earth. I got Jesus in the flesh in front of me before He even died. Like, can you imagine that? Like, you're recognizing that is the one that has been prophesied for about, I don't know, a couple thousand years is literally right now in front of me. This perfume costs a year's wages. It doesn't matter because He's the one that we've all, He's the pinnacle of everything that all of this is for. What it was created for. And she recognized it. So no wonder she's talked about. Because that heart of recognizing the moment and the time and the hour and the season. And that's what this is.
Because as much as I love that, and as much as I would have loved to have been one of the disciples, I'm not. I'm here. I'm in this season, in this hour, for what the Lord wants to release and awaken and pour out. So this is the time and the season that we're in, beloved.
Yes,
so God. Prepare your hearts to receive.
Yes, God.
In Jesus' name. So, Lord, with humility, Lord, we come before you, and we come before this communion table, Lord. We come before the bread that represents your body that was broken for us. Lord, we come before your blood that was shed. Father, for us, your blood that shows that you are victorious over death and sin forever. Lord, it is through your blood that we can even enter into fellowship with you, that we can even enter into a victorious life because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, Lord, and we don't love our lives unto the death. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, wherever you're at home, just if you have your elements there, just encourage you right now just to hold them in your hand, and we're going to pray over them. Lord, we just thank you, Father, for right now, for breakthrough, for healing, for representation of who you are to be made manifest in us, Lord, not only for ourselves, Jesus. Oh, Lord, you said that your desire was to bring many sons to glory through your sacrifice. And, Lord, we thank you that you're doing that tonight. And, Lord, that you're equipping us and you're healing us and you're restoring us so that we can go out to the highways and the byways and call in your lost bride and say that this season of fear is not for you. The wrath of God is not for you. We have good news that even when you were the worst person ever, Jesus still died for you. He still shed his blood for you. So, Jesus, we humble ourselves before your body and before your blood, Lord, we sanctify those elements. And Lord, we pray in a fresh way tonight, Lord, as we partake, Lord, it's a fresh commitment. A fresh surrender, Lord, of everything that we have on the inside of us. Lord, we repent, Father, where we've minimized you, where we've blocked you, where we've, Lord, held up situations or circumstances bigger than you. In Jesus' name. So as we partake, Father, I thank you, Lord, for your blood, which speaks of so many better things. Lord, I thank you that as we partake, Lord, that chains of depression, sort of hearing that there's some of you out there that depression is getting broken off of you now as we enter into this. That you weren't created to carry that yoke of depression. That is not from the Lord. And Lord, I thank you that those chains are broken off as we partake in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Just receive. Just receive. Just receive as just receive. As we partake and the worship team just plays a little bit, just encourage you to take time with him and receive right now. In Jesus' name, Lord, we seal it, we release it, we bless it, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
This service has always been called fire and wind. For as long as we've had this Tuesday night gathering. That's Pentecost. Fire and wind. This is the week of Pentecost. We want to enter into fire and wind. Fire that is a wildfire. A wildfire of the Holy Spirit. And a wind that cannot be contained. A perfectly beautiful, uncontained wind that blows into our lives. And a fire that's wild in our lives. Everything you've learned before about Jesus was a preview. This is where you start.
Oh.
This is where you're baptized in the Holy Spirit for what's coming on the earth. First, you need to be the harvest of Jesus. Pentecost was the festival of first fruits. You need to be given to Jesus, as we've heard tonight, fresh and new. Wake up and present yourself. It's called the festival of harvest, festival of first fruits. We first have to be the harvest in order to bring in the harvest. We have to give him all that we are. When things are harvested, they're completely cut down or picked off the tree. We need to be fully his.
Amen.
We need to be fully baptized in fire and receive a shaking wind inside of us. You know, Jesus prepared his disciples the same way. Everything up to Pentecost was a preview. We look at Matthew 10, verses 1 through 8. And when he had called the 12 disciples, his 12 disciples, to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus and Lebaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter into the city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, nor work. For a worker is worthy of his food." And on went this impartation of Jesus. He gave them an impossible task, because he said, "Go out there. I've breathed the Holy Spirit on you. Go out there and do it." As they did, as you know, they ran into all kinds of difficulties, because it was a preview. They went to the children of Israel first, because it was a preview of the entire earth that was going to be the harvest. It was the first fruits of the entire earth that was going to be the harvest. So earlier in Matthew, John the Baptist says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." John was full of the Holy Spirit, and he was a preview of what they were going to become. And he told them, it's going to come in your future. Well, it didn't really happen while they were ministering with Jesus. And Jesus then came to them and said, oh, by the way, I'm leaving. They hadn't received the full harvest yet in themselves. They hadn't become the full harvest to Jesus. They had not been very successful. They were asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. They didn't know what to do after he was crucified. They were in confusion most of the time. When he arose from the dead, they were in shock. Like, how can this be? Then he says, I'm going to leave you. And I'm going to send the Comforter. They were like, how is this going to work? This doesn't make any sense. So if his last words to them confused them. Verse 4 in Acts chapter 1. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. He repeats the promise of John the Baptist and says, it's not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He's already told them, I'm leaving. They didn't get it. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or season which the Father has put in his own authority. Keep that in mind for this season on the earth. It's not time for us to know exactly the times and seasons, when the last days are starting, when they'll be completed, what will be the halfway point, all these various things that we've heard about that are coming. But the important thing is, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. He's going to baptize them in the Holy Spirit, and then they can do all the things that he commanded them to do in Matthew 10.
That's right.
It was a preview. It was them trying it out, in a sense, without the Holy Spirit, so they would want to wait when it came time to wait for that power to come from the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. When we receive the baptism of fire and the baptism of wind, it immediately spreads. It's going to immediately spread. So this preview time in our lives to this point in history,
yes,
this Pentecost, this particular Pentecost,
yeah,
is going to be the explosion of fire, the explosion of the wind, yeah, so to speak, that's going to come upon us and send us out, kick us out to the nations. That's what's happening,
yeah,
in this season. It's not just another Pentecost. This is going to kick us out to the nations just like it did with them. So in verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. There better be unity right now in the body of Christ, more unity than ever before. He is inviting us into one accord. It says it several times in the early chapters of Acts, one accord. One accord. One accord. This is not a time to be questioning one another, being suspicious of one another in the body of Christ, but to come before him in one accord, because something big is going to happen. So they did gather. They were a little bit in confusion and all of that, but they gathered. They depended on one another to draw into the upper room. Some of them lived there. And they just drew everyone together in unity and waited. Prayed, waited. They added another team member Matthias to the team in that season in the upper room. They did some kingdom business to replace Judas. And then in chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord. There it is again. They went through a whole entire chapter, 10 days of being in accord, one accord. That's pretty good. If we could go 10 days in the body of Christ with everyone on the same page, maybe this is the time, Pentecost, that will happen. God will draw us into one accord. The Father will draw us into one family. We'll sense it across the earth. Oh, we've become one family. We've become one harvest. We've become one first fruits so that we can be kicked out to the nations. We can spread like wildfire. We can go like wind everywhere with the gospel. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. A sound filled the house. It was a sound of a rushing wind. And maybe they felt some of that wind. Supernatural experience. But the shaking of that wind, the reverberations, because sound brings reverberations. It brings vibrations. They felt it. They felt it. Something's coming. Something more is coming. I believe that they began to kind of vibrate. 120 people vibrating at the same time. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Do you understand? 120 tongues of fire, flames of fire. One on each head, so to speak, in the room, appearing as flames of fire on top of their heads. Flames of fire on each person. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. No one was missed. 120 in the room in one accord, no one's going to be missed. We're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit for this new era of the church. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews. And their dwelling in Jerusalem were Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in their own language. The nations are going to be confused by this new power being released. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in their own language. Then they were all amazed, confused, amazed, and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these men who speak Galileans? How are they speaking all these different languages with all these nations and areas that are mentioned?" Then in the next few verses, there's 15 different nations with different languages going forth. That's the fire being spread. Fire is not meant to be contained in this context. It's meant to be a wildfire. And that's what happened on that day. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God, verse 11. Verse 12, so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" The nations are going to have a reaction to this wind being released, this fire being released. Some will be amazed. Some will marvel. Some will be confused. And in verse 13, there will be some that mock. Others mocking said, "They are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. Is this the same Peter that denied Jesus after he was given this commissioning in Matthew 10, 1 through 8? He had a target audience, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He had a message, the kingdom of God is at hand. But instead, he denied the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and had to be restored to his ministry. But look what happens when the fire hits him, when the wind shakes him. What happens? He becomes a bold proclaimer of the resurrected Christ. That can happen to each of us. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he brings up a prophecy. He brings up a promise. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How many know that this doesn't just happen in one wave? It happened back then at Pentecost. And it can happen now in this new Pentecost. That this same outpouring of the Holy Spirit is going to happen. And there's going to be much more communication from heaven to earth in this season. So that we can go out and spread that fire and spread that wind of the Holy Spirit. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David said concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. For he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh will also rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David. That he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn an oath to him, that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, and his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this on which you see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. He's saying David prophesied about Jesus. He was a representation of only to a certain point. But David didn't resurrect from the dead. Jesus did. Those prophecies were not about David himself, but about Jesus. And we've seen it. He is resurrected from the dead and ascended into heaven. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made... Who are they speaking to? The house of Israel. Who was their target audience? Lost sheep of the house of Israel. They're fulfilling, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the commissioning that Jesus gave to them. But now they have the power to have it happen with boldness. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Do you know that's what's going to happen in this season of harvest? As the wind and the fire are released on the earth in a fresh new way. People are going to be cut to the heart because of this preparation of this time of plague across the earth. And they're going to ask those of us that are representatives and ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, what shall we do? And we're going to have the answer for them. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You will receive what we've received. And that's the only way that you're going to be able to live this out and bring in harvest along with us, is the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. For the promise is to you and your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and on that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. They went from 120 and maybe some others that weren't in the upper room, and it went to 3,000 were added in one day. That's what fire and wind does. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. Here's that oneness again. Here's that unity again. It makes all of this work. And sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The gospel was the first fire that was released, just as Jesus told them to do. And it was the first wind that was released, and it went throughout the earth from that point on. In the next chapter, in chapter 3, they start with a healing that is part of what the commissioning of Jesus was, that shook everybody in that area. The healing at the gate beautiful of the lame man. Everyone that was a leader in that area that had come against Jesus now saw his disciples had the same power to heal. It shook that society. It shook those leaders. Those Jewish leaders. You know what happens after this. The Gentiles are added to the ones that are going to receive the gospel. Not long after this, they're part of it. And even this was bringing in, the ushering in of the Gentiles into the ones that would be spoken to with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the journey of Pentecost. This is a new Pentecost. I want to be part of that. You heard tonight the fire from those that were sharing tonight in communion and before that about the majesty of Jesus and what he's doing in this season with each of us, purifying us, searching our hearts, bringing us out of a sleep maybe. Those of you that don't know Jesus, this is your time. Become part of that harvest and join in with those that will be releasing the gospel to the earth. That's your true destiny. That's the true desire of Jesus, to bring you into his family. We give him all praise tonight and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Isn't God so good? So I just wanted to share a couple of things that are happening this week. So just encourage you to put before the Lord. One of them is called the Outpouring. It's this Thursday, May 28th at 8 o'clock a.m. After 10 days of consecrated worship and adoration with perfume of the nations, or of nations, join Watchmen for the Nations on May 28th as we gather together for the outpouring gathering online. So just encourage you to put that before the Lord, and if you can tune into that, it would be awesome. And then also on Friday, May 29th at 10 a.m. is Holy Spirit Acts 2. So it's another online gathering. Again, just with everything that we're talking about, everything that's being shared and what God's released in this season and this hour, it's very important that we tune in, that we are a part of that. So we will provide links to you. So if you, we are sending emails, and if you're not receiving our emails from Frontline, let us know. You can just comment right in the comments if with your email address if you would like to receive the links and receive the information via email. So if you want to just let us know that. And then we're going to go back into worship, but I just encourage you to tune into both of these events this week. So, amen.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. America.